Off the Ball, GAA.
Hugs are not allowed in hurling, lads. Seamus might disagree with me and say it was soft, but he stood him up, but he had his hands around him and he literally hugged him.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
Now, to Ireland-Wales at the weekend, I'm delighted to say we have Welsh legend Mike Phillips with us this morning. Mike, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. How important, from your perspective, was it that the Warren Gatland era finished and something new could start, even in the middle of the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a bit of a shock, really. I thought that he would have the reins perhaps to the end of the tournament. I mean, but obviously results and the performance against Italy was so poor, and what's been going on, obviously very, very disappointing. And they think it's right to come in with a freshness. And Matt is, even in the first sort of week and his first kind of interviews, it's been quite refreshing to have a different voice and a different opinion. And it's not knocking anything that Warren's done. I mean, he's left a legacy there. I don't think it harms his legacy. He's done a great deal for Welsh rugby. But, you know, everyone has a shelf life as a player and as a coach as well. And I think, unfortunately, at elite sport, you know, sometimes a change is good. When Warren came in initially, I mean, it was an amazing change, and he brought his team with him. And, you know, right from the first meeting, there was an edge there. And, you know, players knew they had to, you know, be at the top of their game. So, you know, it's run its course. And unfortunately for him, it's come to that. But, you know, I don't think no one's forgetting about what he's done and the trophies that he's put in the cabinet.
Yeah, I imagine for yourself, Mike, because you had so many great times under Warren Gatland yourself in his first stint in charge, that it probably came as, I don't know if it's a bit of a shock or just real disappointment that he left when he did. Would you personally have liked Warren Gatland to have seen out the Six Nations?
Yeah, I thought just purely because you've got to support the next person and give the next person the best chance. And I think, you know, you're going up against one of the best teams in the world now in Ireland. And so, you know, it's all about the progression plan, isn't it? And it was unfortunate, going back to Wayne Pivac, you know, unfortunately for him, he came in on the back of Gats winning the Grand Slam, which is a disaster, really, for the next coach, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, people seem to forget that we did win a Six Nations under Pivac, and we won out in Ireland, South Africa, sorry. And he did do some great things, you know. So, but he was almost, you know, it was almost tough. It's almost like the Alex Ferguson thing with Manchester United, you know, the next guy was almost doomed. And, but now I think it's put to bed, and I think we can move forward. And I think we need the freshness, really. And it's not knocking anyone. It's just, like I said before, it's a good thing to have a different voice and different opinions and move forward.
Why do you think Welsh rugby finds itself in the position it's in now with the 14 test defeats in a row? Was it a sort of situation, Mike, that you could see coming, that maybe it's the worst version of what you might have predicted? Or is it there's still an element of shock within Welsh rugby about what's actually happening?
Yeah, well, that's not really, in a strange way, there's bigger issues. I mean, there's issues from grassroots. I mean, the number of people playing the game is dying. The interest in the game is dying. Then you've got the academy systems, how we identify talent. It hasn't been good enough. The answer to that is the under-20s have been nowhere near for 10 years. Then you go into the regions and they've been, you know, poor and poor. And so you're expecting players to step up from, you know, under-20s to go into a poor under-20s team, to go into a poor regional team, to then step up and play the best teams in the world. I mean, it's impossible, really. So, and who's been held accountable for all this? I think this is the bigger issues, from players, how they're treated from 15 to 20-odd. I mean, it's irrelevant who's head coach at the minute for me. I mean, it really is. I think we really need to look at, you know, how we identify talent, bring it through and nurture it, and, you know, give them the best opportunity to progress.
The Ireland team will be named in the next couple of minutes. We're expecting it to go live on online and in our inboxes. In the meantime, Mike Sherry is with us. Mike, good morning to you. How are you?
Good, thanks, Ger. How are you guys?
Some speculation Dan Sheehan might be named captain for this. It's an incredible comeback from him, but I think we'd all be excited by that prospect as well.
Yeah, definitely an amazing comeback. He's a complete thoroughbred. As you can see, he's an amazing athlete, and he can function out in the wide channels just as much as he can in the trenches. So he's got the full all-court game, and yeah, he came back really quickly from his injury, which was amazing. Great work from the Leinster and the Irish S&C team and physio. So all credit to them. But yeah, he's come back with a bang. He's an amazing addition. I've always said that Ireland need to have himself and Kelleher both fit if they have intentions of going further in a World Cup, and having the two of them fit. I know Kelleher has probably picked up an injury now, and hopefully it's not too serious, but having the two of those guys rotating the position, I think everyone would think that Sheehan would be the starter if there was a World Cup final tomorrow, but he's definitely a cornerstone of the team. Very popular, as you can see, and yeah, him as captain and probably moving into the future, he'd be a very, very good option.
Yeah, captain confirmed there. The team is in. Dan Sheehan is captain. The full team here. Porter, Sheehan, Thomas Clarkson. You have Joe McCarthy, Tadhg Byrne. Peter Romani stays in the team. Josh Van Der Fleer and Jack Conan comes in for Caelan Dyrus. And in the backs, James Gibson-Park, Sam Brendercast continues at 10. The wingers are James Lowe and Mac Hansen. Centres are Robbie Henshaw and Gary Ringrose. And the fullback is Dara Smith-Nocton's call yesterday, Jamie Osborne. Thoughts?
Yeah, look, it's still a very strong team. It's good to see a bit of rotation. There's probably a few injury concerns that they'll discuss as well, which necessitated some changes. Interested that Prendergast is getting an extended run. I think he's deserved it after his last couple of performances, but you'd have to feel a little bit for Jack Rowley. But look, that's the role he has to take up at the minute. He has to come on, make an impact and change the coaches' minds. But definitely Prendergast is the incumbent.
How significant is your first time captaining? I think you were one of the youngest ever captains of Munster when you were named first time. Does it fundamentally change your approach to a game, regardless of the level?
My captaincy for Munster isn't a great record. I think we lost two and I drew one, so I don't think I ever actually picked up a win as captain. But I think I was captain for the first Munster team that lost down in Treviso. So the less said about that, the better. But in terms of my own prep, I was very young. I was quite nervous. I think in the latter years, if I had been called upon, I would have been a bit more relaxed about it. But it definitely impacted me and my preparation. I hated speaking before games. I was always on the verge of puking or throwing up in a toilet in and out. So that part I didn't enjoy. I think Sheehan and the environments now have changed. I think there's a lot more. There's a lot more control throughout the team. It's not just reliant on one player to speak before a game. You'd have your out half, your different leaders across the pack would speak as well. So I think he'd be well supported, I think, with Pete there as well. He's very sure hand if anything goes awry, and a lot of experience to call on.
It is really interesting that Omani's in the team but not captain. And so there's clear kind of handing over of the guard. There was some speculation that they just picked Omani as some kind of going away present for the Scotland game. But I thought that was kind of disrespectful to Peter Omani and the whole notion that we would do that. It's like he's in the team because they want his specific skill set. And he's obviously in the team this week because they want his specific skill set.
Yeah, and Pete does have a very specific skill set. He's not going to be making 30, 40 metre breaks out in the wide channels. He's not going to be breaking off the base of a scrum. He's very good over the ball. He's exceptional in defensive lineouts. He's your banker ball on your own lineout when it's not going well. And he leads very much from the front. He's involved in every little scuffle there is. I think that's kind of died out of his game a little bit over the years. But he's definitely a leader. He's definitely someone that they bank on to steady the ship if it's needed. And yeah, look, he's definitely worth his place. I agree with you. I think Pete's been disrespected for 5, 6, 7 years now at this stage. He's been worth his place for a long time. He perhaps doesn't have the same numbers in his stats as the likes of Van Der Fleer or Caelan Dyrus, but that's a lot to do with his positioning at scrum time, line-out time. And I always say with Pete and Tadhg Byrne, I watch Munster quite regularly, obviously, and teams can come with the best plans, the best tactics, but when you have a guy disrupting your lineup ball like he does, and when you have Tadhg Byrne and Pete in over the ball, it's very, very hard to play against whatever teams they're playing in.
We can't play this game anymore, but can we still be friends?
Off the ball. to a podcast? Oh, radio show, awesome.
Don't worry, he knows who we are.
Their second rows are quite old, and they realize they don't work as hard as Harold. New Zealand's back rows, Sam Kane doesn't realize you're rook properly. I know I'm really going to get a chip about that, but like, that's the honest truth. He would be ranked one of the lowest accuracy rookers in the competition.
To a podcast?
I never heard of him.
Didn't. Swear, Boxman.
So the, you know, you're just a shit Richie McCaw and Sam Kane can't rook. Are these things that would have fed into his thinking?
I'm sure deep down it would have motivated him to put something like that out there.
Off the ball. To a podcast?
Don't worry, he knows who we are.
Oh, radio show, awesome.